I can't complain too much about this weather for one major reason. Is because I have friends who are either A, in California, and the sky out there looks something like they're on Mars right now. So, yeah, hey, it's a little chilly out. Ooh, okay. You know, it's chilly and raining. Hey, at least the entire countryside's not on fire. I think I'm okay with that. The other thing is like I mentioned yesterday, I got friends who are out in like in the mountain states. They were kind of trying to get a last vacation in. They haven't been able to get back home because of the bad weather that they've had out there. So it's supposed to warm back up again. This is a little hiccup. But yeah, Matt, what about warming? Come on, Matt. What about warming? Well, I'm going to tell you what, we shouldn't be having 46 degree highs in early September. That's a sign we've broken the earth. But hey, if you don't trust me, we had a weather forecast, an official weather forecast of fire tornadoes. The National Weather Service actually forecasted fire tornadoes. Yeah, we're just fine. Yeah. What's the next biblical plague we can have in the forecast, huh? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. A lot to get to today, including we got to get to the Steiner. We get to the Trumper with the Steiner coming up here a little bit later on. But I want to make sure everyone out there, I'll get to the Minnesota coronavirus update first, and we're going to start with this comparison. Who do you think would be better at dealing with the coronavirus outbreak? Hawei Farah is a full-time respiratory therapist experienced with Minnesota's healthcare system, shared her struggles as she tried to advocate for her father after he contracted COVID-19 in April. Farah, who works for the M Health Fairview, testified Wednesday during a Minnesota House Select Committee hearing on the state's pandemic response. At one point, fighting through tears, she shared how her father, 74-year-old school hall monitor, had succumbed to the disease. So you have, and this session was run by Speaker Hortman, and many of the leaders in the House were there. Democrats taking this seriously, listening to the people there. So there you go. That's what the Democrats are out there doing this, trying to find out how they can make the system better, hearing from people that have come up with some problems, trying to make, treating coronavirus and helping people a better thing. What are the Republicans out doing? Well, Paul Gazelka and Kurt Dowd were out screaming about football. You need to start playing football. Why aren't you playing football? You know, who would you rather have in charge of this? And that's a legit question. I said this kind of tongue-in-cheek this morning on the Twitterverse and the social medias. I said this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but if Gazelka and Doubt were in charge, they would have demanded, ordered, forced the state fair to be open, demanding people, you need to go have fun, state fair is open. And the minute hundreds of thousands of people got sick, the first thing they would say is, well, just because I demanded it was open didn't mean you guys had to go visit. That was your decision. That's who these guys are. On one side, you have a political party that's actually treating this pandemic seriously and trying to get to answers and trying to make the system work better. On the other side, you have some bellowing chimps screaming for football. I don't know. I'll go with the Democrats. How about that? Speaking of the coronavirus, 7 COVID-19 deaths were reported in Minnesota. Health authorities on Wednesday, along with 282 new infections with the coronavirus that causes the infectious disease, the daily tallies by the Minnesota Department of Health bring the state's totals in the pandemic to 1,869 deaths and also 81,868 confirmed infections, including 75,000 people who have recovered. The number of Minnesotans hospitalized for COVID-19 has been gradually declining over the last month after it was up high, went down for June and half of July, and then came back up again, but now it's going back down again. State reported 263 hospitalized patients on Wednesday, including 137 who needed intensive care due to breathing problems and other complications from the infections. Health officials have warned the hospitalizations and deaths could increase again in Minnesota if the spread of the virus continues to escalate across communities. They're having problems at colleges right now. University of Wisconsin Eau Claire officials did everything right. Before classes began, 4 days ago, they asked students to sign a pledge to follow their blue-gold protocol, a home-drafted set of guidelines regarding safe COVID-19 practice. Now, one thing, have you never been to UW Eau Claire? I've been out there a few times for the reason being is that they do a regional band, and my son and my daughter have been part of that regional band and regional all-star band. So they go out there, and what happens is you have to be there. You show up very early in the morning. You check in. Then they practice music all day, and then they have a concert that night. I get to explore Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Not a bad town. It's got some cute elements to it, that's for sure. But that's kind of the way they go. If you've never been to UW Eau Claire, it's a relatively small, confined campus. So when you're talking about trying to deal with keeping coronavirus in check, keeping a pandemic in check, you can probably put together a pretty decent game plan in regards to how to limit exposure. And so, and I'm not saying that you can't do that on a larger scale, but it becomes harder. I mean, it does. It becomes a harder thing to do when you're looking at the University of Minnesota or Wisconsin, you know, these large, large universities where there's a lot of people. And of course, in Minneapolis, I mean, how many campuses do we have for the UW Twin Cities? So if you, you know, I'm not, this is not a criticism of the college. I'm going to guess the college actually probably had a pretty good game plan in place. They, the pledge also provided that they would use their newly developed HIPAA compliant app to monitor and log their temperature and symptoms daily. Okay. All this with the promise of a fall semester in person. That's ambitious, but, you know, they were taking it seriously. And here is the result. We have approximately 200 students in quarantine based on the around 70 positive cases that we had, said Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, Dr. Warren Anderson. Most of the positive cases were, of course, off campus, so those students are recovering at home. This is more evidence that no matter what campuses do, the coronavirus won't discriminate. However, Anderson said they saw this coming, allowing smoother implementations of action in place. Apparently, Anderson explained that the cases were linked to a bonfire event that took place off of campus. Which brings up the entire point of this. Something I referenced earlier this summer when we started baseball back up again, and my son played summer baseball, and they told the players to stay away from each other. They told people in the stands, bring chairs, go, you know, line up. There were plenty of people, and I get to give kudos to the parents who sat out in the outfield on the outfield fence, way far away, but, you know, clearly social distancing, taking it seriously. But yet there were knucklehead parents who were in the stands all sitting there like it's some sort of mint julep drinking hour and all hanging out together, as well as also there was an insane amount of students, some of whose parents were there and the parents didn't have any problem with this, who were basically in a hog pile in the bleachers. I mean, there was, you know, 20 kids, all really close-knit. And no one was, you know, keeping any distance. And so when school started saying, oh, guess what? We're having outbreaks. I was, really? You don't say, really? Wow. This, your game plan is only as good as the kids who are going to the school. And we've already talked about the fact that the sad reality of our America today, especially in our schools, is there are parents, and this goes private school, charter school, public school, I don't care what school it is, there are parents in every one of these schools who will drop a sick kid off at school and they won't even think about it at all. Not my problem. I've got a business meeting. Not my problem. I got to head to the Galleria. There are plenty, plenty of people who will drop a sick kid off at school even today in the age of coronavirus. Absolutely. Without a doubt. That being said, not only are you going to have problems with elementary schools and junior highs and high schools and private schools and charter schools, the colleges, what have we seen so far? It's all freaking knuckleheads.
Dude, I want my college experience to start right now, so we're going to have a bonfire and have some beers, and it's going to be a great time. I don't think we have to worry about coronavirus. Coronavirus doesn't like bonfires. I don't know what you were thinking, but here is yet another school, St. Olaf, Winona State, now UW-Eau Claire. Here's another school where the stupidity of the students who are going there undermines the entire concept that, you know, professors and professional educators have put together with health experts these game plans in place to try to keep these students safe. And they just are only as good as the weakest and, frankly, the dumbest link. And, you know, one of the things we learned at St. Olaf, you can have a school of a bunch of smarties. There's still some dumb people down there, aren't there? Still some real idiots. You can think you, oh, I'm a Trump supporter. I don't have to worry about this. By the way, more on that to come a little bit later on. That's called foreshadowing. But no, if you want to have college in person, or at least have a situation where the colleges are going to have students on campus, whether that's in-person classes or not in-person classes, you cannot have beer parties in the dorms. You can't have rush week on the frat houses and sororities. And you sure as heck can't have beer parties off campus or bonfires off campus with a bunch of kids going, "We're invincible!" You can't. And granted, the thing which is interesting is I thought we'd start seeing this kind of breakdown on the younger schools, like the elementary schools, the junior highs. Nope, it's the colleges. And I guess the reason why is that they don't, you know, these are, you know, they're 18 years old. They're technically adults. So they basically are out on their own and they're all making stupid decisions. Now, as someone told me, you're 18 years old. You basically, that is kind of the trademark. You know, if there's on brand for 18, stupid decisions is one of them. But this is the problem. And as Tweedledee and Tweedledum here are screaming about college football coming back, we really, really, really want the Gophers to play. Who are they going to play? Themselves? All right. Well, we scored. I guess starting back up again. Who are they going to play? The rest of the Big Ten is shut down. And I tell you, and folks, it's going to happen. Come probably late September, early October, we're going to have conferences have to shut down because there's 20 kids on one team that have had coronavirus and they've already played two games. And so this is going to become a nightmare. This is going to become a nightmare. But, you know, as long as you have, you know, idiots like Doubt and Gazelka screaming out football, or idiots going to college and saying, "I don't care what the dean says, man. I can live forever. I'm invincible. Give me a beer and a bonfire. Woo!" Yeah. No, that's not how it works. And can I just say this, you absolute, complete, and total knuckleheads? Fine. Yes, the death rate for 18-year-olds is not exactly bad. All right, there have been some that have passed away. You should think, especially if you have anyone who has a pre-existing condition. Asthma, obesity, these are issues that have been causing problems. But the real trouble is those professors who might be 50, 60 years old, or their spouses, or their parents, or your parents. You selfish twits. Seriously. You guys need to grow up, and I know this is not, you know, angry dad back in my day. No, this is, you are going to get people killed, you morons. I'd say the same exact thing to someone who I knew was drinking and driving all the time. You need to grow up. You need to stop doing what you're doing. Because the implications of what you're doing go far beyond just your little inner circle. I don't know how you're going to stop this. I do not know how you're going to stop this. But and when you think about the University of Minnesota, what's your student body population ratio to idiots? I mean, how many idiots were in the studio body? How many of them are like, "You can't, my dad, I come from a conservative area. You do coronavirus. That's just a liberal myth. Who wants a beer?" Seriously. guys, jeez. Yeah. You're just, this is going to become a mess. And you know, I don't know what you can do. I don't know what you can do outside of the fact that, you know, maybe you're just going to end up having kids in dorm rooms, you know, and that's where their education takes place, is just from a dorm room. And that's going to be a whole thing. That's going to be the entire season, because you can't trust these kids to basically say, hey, by the way, don't get together. Okay, who wants to get together this weekend? Woo! 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour for the last 5 years on AM 950. We air every Saturday night at 6 p.m. We have artists, musicians, private detectives, politicians, and more. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Stop in at Next Chapter Booksellers to find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Their expert staff can help make book recommendations no matter what your taste. Plus, Next Chapter Booksellers also sells a wide variety of puzzles and games. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 to 3. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Oh, thank you very much to Todd Kolitz, a friend of the show, friend of mine. Todd's actually a really cool dude. And by the way, the pictures of these, he lives in Spain now. He used to live here. He lives in Spain. Will you stop with the pictures of the food, man? I traveled when I was stationed in the military. I actually traveled down to Spain. Holy cow. The culinary, you know, underestimation of Spain is amazing to me. The food there is spectacular. And the wines too. Oh, anyway, he's out there. He's a lucky duck. He's in Spain, but he still loves the station. Thanks. And he can't go to the businesses that support the AM 950. So what he does is he buys his own ads on AM 950. And we're very grateful. Now you can too. Call us at 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 for more information on how you can buy ads here. And Todd wants to remind everyone, hey, there's no excuse. There are a lot of ways you can vote. You need to go to the mnvotes.org website and find out what option works best for you. All right? There is. Do you want Tweedledee and Tweedledum football boys? Do you want them for them in charge of anything? Or do you want competent leadership? Well, then get registered to vote and vote somehow. Only vote once. Don't listen to Trump. Only vote once. But go and vote and make your voice heard, and we can save this country. We can hopefully save our country. So go to mnvotes.org. Thank you very much to Todd. Now, everyone knows how much I have been broken as a man when we lost Danielle Stella in the Minnesota 5 congressional race. Oh, I miss you, you bat crazy woman. Oh, I miss you. You are a loon ball and a delight. I miss you. Well, the Republicans are trying to make up for it because we got another one. And I've talked about this candidate before. This is a Republican running up on the range, Julie Buria. Unfortunately, she's a mountain iron congresswoman, or a city councilwoman. And she is, I've actually talked to one or two people up there and they've said, yeah, she seems to be really off that far deep end of the far right of the party. Right now, the Republicans are trying to play cleanup mode because they feel as if this is a seat that they could possibly win. She's running as a Republican in the House 6B race. Freshman Representative Dave Lizegard is there. As a matter of fact, he was Democrat of the Day 2 years ago. We'll have to get him back on the air here. But reading from the City Pages story, if you manage to block it out, QAnon is the massive, tangled, decentralized web of internet rumors involving an alleged pedophilia ring, deep state, deep throat, President Trump being a secret genius from Freedom Fighter, Wayfair, and Pizzagate. A recent piece by the Associated Press featured a few candidates who have posted references to QAnon on links to QAnon sites. They include Minnesota House candidate Julie Buria. Buria, a realtor and a Mountain Iron City Council member, is the candidate who posted a Facebook meme comparing COVID-related mask mandates to the Holocaust. Including a photograph of a concentration camp victims, Buria said she was sorry and said she'd been forced to apologize, that Jews are not offended by the comparison. She apologized, and then she said she wasn't sorry, that Jews were on her side because they love, apparently, Holocaust imagery being used by Republican hacks trying to vilify their opponent. I don't know what her whole argument was, but it wasn't really sound. I mean, if there's a term, sound argument, it wasn't sound. According to the AP, Buria has retweeted at least 4 QAnon supportive posts in April and May, including one that read, "Link to new Q drop." Oh, you guys, with several hashtags common to the conspiracy's followers. Have I looked at it? Yes, she told Associated Press. Do I believe all of it? No, I'm not really sure what to think about all that. Once again, people I've talked to who are up there, they get the impression she knows all about it. Anyway, any such posts have been since removed from her Twitter feed, creating just a smidge of a content gap between March and June. She didn't respond to interview requests to confirm or deny any of this or to explain which parts she believed and which she didn't. There do appear to be a lot of Q supporters among her followers, including a smattering of handles like IQ Ranger 1. No. And hashtags WWG1 WGA, short for Where We Go One, We Go All. But she doesn't know anything about it. That's their catchphrase. But I don't know. She's loony. Oh, you know, seriously, she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But at the same time, she's not Danielle Stella. You know, you're just not going to replace Danielle Stella. She was brilliant. I must paint her. Could I paint Danielle Stella? Could I just capture her essence? There has rarely been a candidate so than Danielle Stella. I'm going to miss her. I am. I will post up a little bit later on. It's not been a good week for Jim Hagedorn down in the Minnesota First. He's it's not going well. And the latest report, the Reformer article, Hagedorn's ex-chief of staff funneled pricing contracts to his brother as well as to a Hagedorn employee.
Let's see here. This, a review found that Abernathy West, a company in which the office gave more than $340,000 of taxpayer money, is likely owned by Sisney Sue, a former high-ranking aide of the U.S. House and brother of Hagedorn's former chief of staff, Peter Sue. The review also found another Hagedorn office employee, John Sample, is the owner of Invoke Technologies, as first reported by the Minnesota Reformer last month. On top of that, the Forum News Service, which owns the Rochester Bulletin, as well as the Worthington Globe, reports that Jim Hagedorn says internal review resolves spending questions. DFL says not so fast. No, it's exposed the spending problems. It didn't resolve the spending problems. The next big thing came on Wednesday, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, where Brianna Beersbach and Patrick Condon filed a report, fired staffer to Jim Hagedorn, pushes back on a mail controversy. Jim Hagedorn told his former chief of staff in a phone conversation last month that, "I don't believe there's any problem with taxpayer-funded mail to constituents that was produced by two companies with ties to his congressional office." Peter Sue, the former chief of staff, gave the Star Tribune an audio recording of the conversation, which he said occurred on August 7. Hagedorn is in an interview, did not dispute that is an authentic recording. But the best is KTTC Rochester. Apparently asked both the GOP and the DFL chairs what they think about Jim Hagedorn. Ken Martin, of course, the head of the DFL, "Look, I'm not satisfied with the results of the Congressman Hagedorn's report and released. There was serious wrongdoing involving hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money. Jim Hagedorn has already lied to the people of Minnesota about this scandal, and so we should just not take him at his word here." Going to the other side of the aisle, and reminder, Jennifer Carnahan, the head of the Minnesota GOP, is Jim Hagedorn's wife. I wonder what her stance will be. I think what's going to be important on November 3rd is that Congressman Hagedorn has worked incredibly hard over the past 2 years. He's done a lot of good things for his district, whether it's medical care, whether it be agriculture, whether it be small businesses. Oh, speaking of small businesses, you know, he has given a lot of taxpayer dollars to one or two small businesses, well, bigger businesses, that, you know, they're grateful. That's grateful. Yeah, and they happen to be working for, you know, or related to or connected to his office. But hey, oh, Jennifer, that is, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And by the way, this is good news, because as Hagedorn implodes, and Hagedorn is imploding right now, that puts the entire Minnesota First District on the table. And if you're a DFLer, get down there. Help those DFL candidates, because I can tell you right now, there are going to be seats we can pick up now, because Hagedorn, is not only is Trump dragging down the ticket, Hagedorn will drag down the rest of the ticket. The DFL has a chance to really do some damage and pick up a lot of seats in the Minnesota First. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Speaking of massive anchors, Donald Trump. We'll talk with about Jeff Stein with him about Trump and the 1,000 pounds of ugly. That's just been the news cycle in the last few days about Trump. That's when we do return. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. My way to stay in.
Get things done. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's Fall Triple Savings Sale is back by popular demand, offering savings up to $2,420 on the purchase of a new furnace and air conditioner during September. You don't want to miss out on this fall deal. Start preparing for furnace season now and take advantage of some of the biggest savings of the year. That's savings in manufacturer rebates, utility rebates, and September promotions. Phone lines are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. Visit standardheating.com/special offers.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 5 gigabytes of high-speed data for $30 a month. $30 a month on a nationwide 5G network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Shop now at simplemobile.com. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
Limited time offer ends 9/30/2020. Standard high-speed data allotment on all redemptions thereafter. Compatible 5G-capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Santita Jackson of AM 950's new daily morning drive show, The Santita Jackson Show. Minneapolis, St. Paul, I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll bring you the best progressive talkers, thinkers, and doers. And there's one more seat at the table, and that belongs to you. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, morning drive on AM 950, Minnesota's Progressive Voice, The Santita Jackson Show.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil. Today, with the uncertainty going on, we're all looking to find a way to make our dollar go further. That's why I suggest your next vehicle is a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I have a newer Toyota, I also have a 2006 Sienna, and it still runs great. 14 years and 170,000 miles later. I love Toyotas, and they're made to last, and they have never let me down. And with maintenance from Rudy Luther, your vehicle will take care of you and save even more money with the Luther Advantage card with your vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota at 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Should mention as well, if I may, that we've got Pilots Progressive Party coming up here. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we've got Sheriff Hutch is going to join them, as well as Jen McEwen, State Senator candidate. She's going to join them as well. Pilots Progressive Party with Robert and Wendy coming up here at 5 o'clock right here on AM 950. EatLocalMinnesota.com. All the restaurants featured this week because we got the short week. Stop on by. Get dinner tonight. Get some lunch for tomorrow. Help out these restaurants. EatLocalMinnesota.com. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, TotallyIowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly show, and he joins us from KXEL, where he produces the Iowa Politics Report. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm excellent, but you need to go get a gift card when you're getting the meal for tonight and then lunch for tomorrow.
And the Fire up the gift card. And get a gift card. And also, never stop. They got a T-shirt. Pick one up. A lot of them sell T-shirts.
Well, now, when you say pick one up, you mean pay for one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're
you mean purchase one. You're not.
No, it's not that kind of a, you know, we want to help them out there.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to be clear to everyone. Matt is not encouraging looting. He's saying pay for a T-shirt.
Exactly. Right. Jeff, we have five buttes to get to today. let's start with what should be the end of Trump's campaign, the Atlantic story, calling veterans losers and suckers, saying that he didn't understand why the United States was the United States the good guy in World War One. He stated, he said he didn't like disabled troops in military parades because he didn't like the imagery of that. There is a feeling, and once again, I think there is almost a dare. Is he trying to alienate his base? Because once again, this is the same base where he says I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and they'd applaud him. This is, you know, I know more than a few very strong Trump supporters who, after this report came on out and Fox News validated the report, they said they're never going to vote for Trump again.
Now, this is from a trip 2 years ago, and it is just coming out now. There are some who say that's what makes it suspicious. No, that is very likely what is what makes it true. And I say that for this reason. If you knew these things because you heard them, you were working for the government, you heard these things, they were abhorrent to you, and you left the government. If you release it too soon, he has the chance to, in essence, dance around it, potentially. You may not want to ever release it at all. And so you just sit back until you see, and if it looks like he's going to go down in flames on election day, maybe you don't need to say something. But as things seem to tighten, because now you have the COVID going on, maybe these people decided, I cannot be silent any longer. One other thing that I'd mention, and this is the problem that Trump has times 500. Dan Rather tweeted something to the effect of, have no idea if the statements were made or not, but they sound believable. Now, Trump is using that to say, well, what do you mean you don't know if they're truthful or not? So therefore, how can you believe them? Because it sounds like something he'd say. And that's the key on it. It sounds exactly like something he would say because he has already said things, particularly about John McCain in the past, that echo this, that sound really similar. So that's one of the things that makes this story so hard for him to dodge, Matt, is that even his supporters can imagine him saying it.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, his former press secretary, came out to defend him, and some people have brought up the very valid point. Well, wait a minute here. His administration's had some senior military officials in it. McMaster, Kelly, and Mattis have all been part of his administration, yet not a single one of them has stood up for him on this, which leads me to ask the question, are they the leakers? Because let's face it, if I'm – especially Kelly – and Mattis. I'll give both of them. And nothing against McMaster, but those two guys, they're hardcore military guys. If they had heard anything like that coming from his mouth, I'm surprised they didn't punch him in the grill, because that is kind of – you don't disrespect the veterans and the troops like that. And so the question I have is, what do you think? I mean, the fact that so many people have been able to verify this, AP, CNN, Fox News, has all verified the Atlantic report – The fact is, I'm wondering if the people that leaked it were the military people themselves.
Two things to look at. One, when did he say these things? November of 2018. When are the conversations alleged to have been had? And when did those people leave? So instead of punching him in the grill, was it the last straw for a number of them? I think you need to connect some of those dots. The second thing I would say – now this, let me finish the statement because I know what you're going to say, but – I will push back a little bit on certain news agencies confirming it, because you might have an echo chamber of the same anonymous sources. But put that aside for a second. Your point is such a smart one. There have been people who have come out and denied that it ever happened. John Bolton, no friend of the president, said, I didn't hear any such thing. Okay, notice, I didn't hear it. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means he did not hear it. Sarah Sanders has, wait for it, a book that just came out. If she trashes the president, then the book is worthless. That's not going to happen. And she says she didn't hear it. Okay. Before you and I went on the air, I can't hear you. I don't know what you said. So I can't confirm that you said it, but that doesn't mean you didn't say it. The fact that there are, and this is where your point is so valid, look at the people who have come out and said, I didn't hear it. Okay, that's fair. But look at the people who haven't said diddly squat. And that is the key. They don't want to be subjected to the vitriol that would come from Trump. But you can start narrowing it down to figure out who has not commented on one of the important issues of the campaign, or one of the important stories that has come out since the general election really became a joined race.
General Kelly was basically going to become General Facepalm. At this point, I think he left. Didn't he leave fairly soon after that? The World War II, World War I thing was, you're right, it was November of 2018. And right. Kelly left, what, 2 months later?
That's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. And now again, someone like Trump, it's so easy to believe him saying, why do I have to go to two cemeteries? Isn't one enough to make the point? Well, sure, if all you're trying to do is make a point, if you're actually trying to honor the blessed souls who gave their life for the country, then yeah, you go to two cemeteries. And if there's a third, you look for a way to go to that one.
Yep.
So again, it's a matter of Trump has created a persona for himself, Matt, that even if every single thing in that Atlantic story is false, it rings as probable or at least possible because of the persona he created. And it's hard to get away from that image, isn't it? Because people are saying, well, it hasn't been proven, but, well, you know, it sounds like him.
Well, now let's jam the other foot down his mouth. The story breaking today, Trump knew early in February the coronavirus posed a unique and deadly threat to the United States and was more deadly than even the most strenuous flus. At the time, Trump repeatedly publicly downplayed the virus as no more dangerous than the flu. The revelation is one of many in journalist Bob Woodward's forthcoming book, Rage, for which Trump granted Woodward a series of interviews
and there are tapes of it. I don't. Is he trying to sabotage his campaign at this point? I mean, I'm dead serious. Is he trying to sabotage it? Because I mean, I just don't know how he thought admitting that to Bob Woodward was going to somehow end up being a positive.
Well, and again, keep in mind the timing of the Woodward book. It has nothing to do with Trump. Although, if you're somebody who is so supposedly media savvy, you'd know darn well when the Bob Woodward book was going to drop, just simply because you know how when your own dropped. The Atlantic story, that timing is totally up to the Atlantic. It's not anything Trump did. If he did it, he did it 22 months ago. But I noticed this from a conservative commentator who posted this on the Twitter machine. And essentially what he said was, in what universe did anyone think that Trump talking to Bob Woodward would come out to be a good thing? Witness George W. Bush sitting down to talk. See, here's what I think it is. And Trump is so much more of this than W. But Trump believes that he can master any situation. So it's like, well, I don't want to not grant Bob Woodward an interview. I'm smarter. I'm a stable genius. I'm smarter than he is. I can explain everything. And it's much better for me to be quoted than to not be quoted. And so I can handle the situation. And it's only after the fact that when all the other pieces are put together, it's like, oh, this doesn't look good. Now, I will say that. Yeah, that's the exact phrase.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's that turned.
Who could have seen this coming? The thing with the pandemic, there is a fine line to walk. And I always encourage government officials to be straight and honest and forthright with the constituents they serve. I don't care if it's a city council or the United States of America. I do understand the concept of being a little bit moderate or temperate in your public statements so as not to cause a panic. I understand that philosophically. I'm not saying that's what he was doing, but I'm saying that, you know, I understand it philosophically, but it just looks so stark when here's the tape from this period of time. Here are the things you've said since. Here are the things you've said within the past 3 days that are contradictory. That leads you to not be surprised that polls indicate that Joe Biden would do a better job with COVID-19 than Donald Trump.
Well, let's go down the other path. It's like the cemeteries. Visit the cemeteries. You're the president. That's what you do. You know, okay, the serious disease happens. You can see it's a problem over there. Hey, everyone, this is a serious. We need to take this seriously. Wear a mask, wash hands, boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom. That's all no one's expecting you to, you know, break out a MASH unit like your Alan Alda or something like that and start trying to treat patients. You just have to lead by taking it seriously and saying we're doing our due diligence. That's all you really have to do. Here are the people that are in charge. Here's the CDC. We're talking to these people. And he just can't do it. And, you know, yet once again has had another, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how. I don't think this is going to deviate too many of his followers. I think the veterans issue, the veterans comments will. This, I don't think, won't do anything. I think it will just give more resolve to the other side. That's for sure.
A MASH unit in Alden Alda broke out. That's very nice. It's in that new Rose Garden. You might not have noticed, but that's where the MASH unit is. Well, you're right. His supporters are going to say it's a Woodward hit job. Okay, fine. But the veterans thing, if it sticks, and I don't know yet, I mean, yes, I have heard stories too of veterans that took their Trump signs out of the yard, walked them to the garbage can and threw them away. I mean, yes, I do. There is that. If the individual believes it, then yes, it will make a difference. If the individual says it's another hit job, okay, well, then they're not going to believe it. So, but this, of the two issues, yes, the veterans one does have a lot more weight. Remember back, and there was some hope here. Remember back when the story was that there was a meeting in the Oval Office. The COVID thing had just started. We'd been having these briefings for a couple of weeks, maybe, and it was nothing to see here. And then Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci took charts and graphs and spreadsheets and whatever, went into the Oval Office and said, if you don't flatten the curve with a 2-week-long, 15-day-long mask policy, this is what we're going to have in terms of hospitalizations, positive cases, and death. And supposedly the president, everyone agreed, said, oh, Well, then I guess we have no alternative. And people, even who were his opponents, said that that was a show of Trump being responsible, of listening to the evidence, of listening to the science, and moving forward. And that is what happened, right? They showed up and said, hey, look, 15 days. Well, but then we get close to an election with a bad economy, and now it's a very different thing.
It ended up being only really about a week before he started bad-mouthing his own decisions. And, yeah.
I didn't get through the 15 days. No,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
It was that moment, right? Because we talked about it where it was like, well, you know, okay, that's a good show.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't last.
Yeah. All right. We got more to get to here. And when we do return, let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More cronyism within the administration, but also some real questionable spending by the Trump campaign. Jeff Stein joining us right now. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
The Minnesota Army National Guard salutes the high school graduating class of 2020. We recognize all of your hard work and the resilience you've demonstrated during this historic time for our country. Those are the traits of a great citizen soldier. You can continue to stand out and be a leader in your community as a soldier in the Minnesota Army National Guard. Learn more about the benefits of part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Crooner's Supper Club is leading the Twin Cities back to live performances this summer with two new distance-safe outdoor dinner show options. The popular Lakeside Drive-In concerts will continue with new shows added throughout the summer. And not to be outdone, Crooner's is also introducing a new Lakeside Cafe in its outdoor patio space designed to offer a more intimate, distance-safe outdoor dinner show experience. So head to Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 this summer for some delicious food and great music. Make your reservations now at croonersmn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us, talking as usual politics with us. Jeff, I want to bring up the spending within the Trump campaign, because it's not only the fact, of course, a guy like this is going to take, he's spending money on his own legal fees. Money's being routed to buddies, that sort of thing. But there are two stories which I saw that really make me kind of question, once again, is Trump trying to lose this? One is the fact that his campaign has been kind of furious with him. They're not spending money in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, states they possibly could win. Instead, they're buying national ad buys or buying Washington, D.C. so Trump can see them. And that's an incredible waste of money. The other side of it is, and it's interesting watching the social media stuff, YouTube is not a very good social media for campaigns because you can't upload lists and stuff like that. I don't know the technical terms, but most of the people say, you know, you stay away from that. You can go to Twitter, you go to Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. Needless to say, the Trump campaign just announced, oh, we're spending a ton of money on YouTube, which the people that know politics in social media said, that's a massive waste of money. You know, there just seems to be an incredible series of bad decisions on this, which once again, veterans comment, now he's admitting things to Woodward. Now you got the spending. I mean, is he trying to lose this race?
Well, notice you had to change campaign managers. Pascal was spending money on this weird stuff, and he's now Mr. Digital Strategy, which he was before and now is again. So the fact that they have blown through $1 billion, I mean, this is a cash-poor campaign right now. How in the world? Because I think it's not just the poor spending you mentioned. I think they had some pretty nice lunches. You know, I mean, it appears that there was a sense of it's daddy's credit card and I can spend it up however I want. He's talking about loaning his campaign millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
There was no reason for that when you looked at the numbers. So it's been spent somewhere, and it's not all media. But here's the question. They keep saying Minnesota's in play. Sure, not what I heard at the end of the segment before the bottom of the hour. Are they just, you know, whistling in the dark on this?
They're not. I mean, they might have a chance if they have to take every rural vote they can. The veterans comment doesn't help. But right. The reality is they're not spending money out there. And here's the interesting thing, too, and you know the impact of this. I've been out in rural Minnesota in the last week twice. I've been out in rural Minnesota. I saw more for sale signs than I saw Trump signs. And that is something that is going to come back. If he doesn't get out there and try to put some sort of campaign together, he's going to get blown out in this state.
And that's where it's interesting, where you say, you know, he wants to compete in New York. He wants to compete in Minnesota. He wants to compete in these, you know, and then we got to put the ads on in Washington, D.C. to make the boss happy. Well, some of those buys you can make, there's nothing wrong with that. And obviously, you know, he can get as much time on Sean Hannity's show as he wants. He's going to be on with the president again tonight, probably with that really lovely phone graphic, because I don't think it's a in-person interview. So you don't really need all of that national spending. You really need to laser focus. And I wonder if the issue is he's not laser focusing on certain states because the candidates down ballot don't want that next to their spots. In other words, Mr. President, you want to spend money on Fox News and Fox Business? Knock yourself out. That's great. That'll reinforce the base. But I don't want your spot next to my spot during the local 6 o'clock news because people might therefore make the connection between us. And that's pretty telling. Also telling is the fact he's doing these rallies again. But we've talked about this before, you and I. At what point does some candidate in Minnesota, for example, say, Mr. President, I know you want to do a rally, but I'm going to be busy that day if it's okay with you?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be. I mean, that's going to be a factor, isn't it? You might have a conflict between getting 270 electoral votes and being washed out of the House and the Senate both.
Two other quick points here. First of all, a whistleblower complaint coming to light against Wolf and the Department of Homeland Security that his intelligence reports were being watered down in regards to Russian intelligence and white supremacists because Trump didn't want to hear this bad news and he was getting demoted. The other story, the Bill Barr story, him inserting the Department of Justice into the Carroll lawsuit under the argument that because he talked about the Carroll in derogatory terms while president, everything that happened prior to him being president now are looped in with that, and henceforth, taxpayers need to spend the money to defend him in court for his liability. That is, I don't think that's even going to fly in a judge's. I think they're going to, deny the Department of Justice movement on this. What do you think?
Well, when you sue someone like the governor of a state, it says sued in his or her official capacity because it is about something done on the job, related to the job. Not related to things that come out of your pie hole that can subject you to civil liability. And that's, to me, a very distinct difference. If a governor or a president engages in some action that's tied to the actual workings of the office, not just that they happen. Okay, so they deliver a pizza to the White House and Trump doesn't like that they put on extra anchovies and he punches the pizza guy. Is that part of the scope of his duties? He was at the White House.
Barr will argue it was, and that's the crazy part.
Yes, that's the point.
That's the crazy part. Barr will come on out, and he said, well, yeah, I don't agree with it, but it was within his gauge of spectrum. Well, we'll spotlight this Iowa politics report coming up a little bit later. Jeff Stein joins us on Wednesdays. We are back on tomorrow. Until then, see ya.